Hello. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good. First off, let's give a hand to the worship team. We thank you every week for doing what you do. We totally appreciate it. All right, guys. Today, how many of you guys heard of social experiments before? You have, right? Have you seen that one where a Christian gets handcuffed to a satanic person for the weekend? Have you seen it? Oh, it's awesome. So I'm clicking through my YouTube feed, and you know how they have recommendations, right? So this popped up. It says, Christian handcuffed to a satanic person for the weekend. And I said, man, that looks pretty interesting. And they had a picture of the Christian and the satanic person, right? And right off the bat, I thought the Christian guy, the person that was Christian, was satanic. But then the video started, and the intro, because the guy looked like he was a surfer dude, had a tattoo in his arm, you know. So the intro starts. And he goes, my name is Jared, you know, I'm a devoted Christian, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, you know, he's very cheerful, very happy. And then they interview the satanic person, which is a young lady, and she says that I'm satanic, and you know, you guys have a misconception of our faith because we believe in peace and blah, 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 blah. So they meet each other, and the Christian was saying in the interview that a lot of people at his church said that he shouldn't have done it. And he goes, why? He goes, the person that we need to be witnessing to is exactly this person. So they met each other, they shook hands, and then right off the bat, they had to get handcuffed to one another. So he asked her, he goes, are you right-handed or left-handed? She goes, I'm right-handed. He goes, well, great, I'm left-handed. So it all works out. So they handcuff one another, and they're starting to talk to each other, and they got to eat. And it's really interesting. You know how you eat? You have to have two hands, right? So they took turns kind of eating and talking to one another. So the first night, she took him to her worship center, right? And he went, and obviously he was a little very uncomfortable, but he went and he said, yes, I'm a devoted Christian. And, you know, he took a lot of jabs because he was a Christian, just like we all do too, right? So then the next day, she goes to church. And then he's leading her to church, and you can tell she's very, you know, she's walking really slow. He goes, don't worry, you won't burst into flames. He walks her to church, and they get to church, and there's a huge worship center. They're on the second floor. He's singing. Everybody seems so happy. You can tell she's very out of place, right? But they talk to each other, and they understand the differences in each other's faith, right? But at the end of the social experiment, do you think they became friends? Or do you think they couldn't wait to get away from one another? What do you think? They did become friends. Yes, they did become friends. And hopefully one day she will go to church at her own free will, right? So it kind of brings me into my topic of today, talking about Satan and all. Who do you think is Satan's number one target? Christians? Besides Christians. Yes, Christians, but you know who Satan's number one target is? It is young people. Okay? And the reason I share this with you guys, I know you guys, a lot of you guys are in high school, a lot of you guys are going off to college. You're a big target. Guess where you're most susceptible to corruption? During your junior high school, college days, right? Okay? And for the reason for that is, think about it, you're impressionable, right? How many of you guys think you know everything? Because when I was 16, I thought I knew everything. I thought my parents didn't know. My parents were so lame. They didn't understand. Today's different. I knew everything at 16, right? I knew everything enough to where I saw my friends get shot. I knew everything enough to see my friends skip the country. Because if they were going to stay here, they would go to prison. I knew everything to see that I had to go to more funerals than any teenager should ever have to do. But I knew everything, right? Like we all think we do. And I'm 40 now, and I still have a lot to learn, okay? So, Satan's number one target is young people. And I call this the YouTube age, right? How many of you guys are big fans of YouTube? You find anything on YouTube, right? Anything. You know, you can find technology, you can find cars, you can find anything on YouTube, right? And YouTube is a platform where I like it because a lot of young people are now multimillionaires because of YouTube, right? Case in point. A year ago, my son's biggest wish was to get a thing called the Guava Juice Box. Okay? Guava Juice belongs to this YouTuber, but his name is Guava Juice. And he puts together this little shipping box, and he puts all these toys in there, and it has a picture on the front, and it goes, look, this is a special offer. This is my special box. And inside the box was $7 store toys. And I use dollar in the very relative term because it's probably 10 cents. But the box cost $40. And he sold thousands of these. And they were in such demand that we couldn't get one. I tried to order one for my son and my niece because they're big Guava Juice fans. Because all he does on his YouTube channel is prank people. He does a lot of slime stuff. So I couldn't get it. So I had to ask Santa Claus to get it for him. And Santa Claus, I wrote a letter to Santa Claus. And Santa Claus goes, John, this Guava Juice box, this is hard to get. I go, I know. But Vin's been really good this year. What can you do? He says, I'll see what I can do. Santa Claus had to go through a lot of work just to get this Guava Juice box. And for Christmas Day, you know, it was right in front of the fireplace, and that's the first thing Vin went for when he woke up. Oh, the Guava Juice box. I go, okay, cool, let's open it. I kid you not, dollar store toys. Even the toys at the dollar store was a lot better. But this is what he loves. He still keeps the box today. And it's, like I said, it's a platform for multimillionaires today. Do you know, there's a lady, do you know the top grossing YouTube person a couple years ago? Do you know how much they made? What is it, Brandon? Okay. Take a wild guess what the top earning YouTube person made last year. A million? 2 million? 100,000? 16 million. And it's this lady. All she does is she opens Disney toys. That's all she does. She opens Disney. You never see her face. All you see is her hands. She said, look, today we have a Walt Disney collectible. And she opens it. And she is a top grossing YouTube personality as of last year, right? It's crazy. So it is. You guys are impressionable, right? Imagine, how many of you guys are in college now? Raise your hands, a couple people. Now, if you can go back a few years, did you make questionable decisions? Right? All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about how Satan became Satan, right? At one time, before he was named Satan, he was actually an angel called Lucifer, right? He was one of the wisest, most beautiful, and powerful of all the angels, right? And for a period of time, he was perfect in his ways. But pride entered his heart, right? So, one day, he says, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heavens, I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Okay? Now, think about it. How many of you guys ever talked back to your father before? Nobody, right? Because, you know, are you crazy? Well, you get slapped. Never talk back to our father. The dad in our family is a disciplinarian, you know. So could you imagine for Lucifer here to go, wait a minute, I think I can take your spot. And you're thinking, well, John, how can this happen? Lucifer was charismatic enough to actually bring a third of the angels to follow him. That shows you how he was the wisest. Could you imagine being in a group? This guy looks legit. We'll follow him. So they challenged God, okay? So from that time on, we all know there was a huge battle, right? And who won, right? So the fallen angels were casted out of heaven, right? Into this new place now. Do you believe? In John chapter 8, verses 4, it says, you belong to the Father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. Okay? So, I told you guys before, the unseen ruler of the world system, right? Pride, greed, lust. Who do you think the leader is of that? That's actually Satan, right? He uses the world system to propagate his lies and to deceive people, right?
Now today, we'll talk about some of the lies versus some of the truths. Satan's lie, okay? The universe came from being by chance. There is no God. How many of you guys learned in school about the Big Bang Theory, right? It's taught, correct? And, you know, scientists do not want to believe God's words to teach his theory. It's just kind of ironic. I know we had a speaker one time in the English ministry. He's a scientist, but he totally goes against the Big Bang Theory, right? And, you know, another one of my scientists that I used to watch when I was a little kid, Bill Nye, the science guy. If y'all can remember, he used to come on Saturday mornings and used to do all these crazy experiments. And I watched him, and he's out here really promoting this Big Bang Theory. He's like, well, this is it. This is the only thing that's real, right? So the truth is you can find in Genesis verses 1, verses 1. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Now, another lie that we come across is man evolved upwards from a living cell, right? You've seen that. You've seen the commercials, right, where this little tadpole or whatever crawls out of the lake and then becomes a fish and becomes a frog, whatever, and then it evolves into the shape of man, right? The truth is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Okay? Now, how many of you guys believe that the human body is one of the most marvelous things out there, right? Because guess what? We pump blood. Look at the amount of data that we can remember. Who has good memory in here? Who could remember dates, birthdays, right? There are some people that I know that have a photographic memory, which means that if they see something, they remember it for life, okay? And that's just your human body, your human brain, right? We don't have upgradable memory. It's just one brain that you were born with, okay? Also, look at the human spirit. Look at, we just recently had Hurricane Harvey, right? And a lot of people were affected by this hurricane. Look at the human spirit. Look at how people came together during that time. There were some places where they had to turn away volunteers because they had too many. They go, oh, we got too many volunteers. You guys have to stand back. So look at the human spirit, right? That's not by chance. Look at the way your body repairs itself. You ever had a cut? What happens to the cut? It clots over and it heals, right? We are amazing people. See, and one of the theories of evolution is one of Satan's biggest lies is because, think about it, it's an easy thing to put on human beings. It's an easy thing to propagate. So people believe it, right? They want to cast doubt, okay? And another one is there is no absolute moral truth, okay? And a lot of young people would attest to this because they're like, hey, if I'm not hurting anybody, I'm morally right. I can do whatever I want. But the truth is, God is a moral being. God is just, right? That's why he sent his son to die for our sins. Okay? There's a cause and effect in everything. Okay? Now, we have been conditioned, right, in this generation to say that each person has a right to believe what they believe, and that's correct. You have the right to believe what you believe. But just because what you believe doesn't mean that it's right, okay? Now, we all know that God is a moral being. God has told us the truth on what is right and wrong, right? He's given us 10 commandments to follow, right? And it's our moral compass right there. And it should be easy to follow, right? What's one commandment that should be very easy to follow? Do not what? Do not murder. That should be a very easy one, yes. How about what's not an easy one to follow? How about do not lie? How many believe my favorite commandment? Commandment number 5. Honor thy mother and thy father. Is that hard to follow? Not really? Brandon? It's quite easy. Good. Good. How do you honor your mother and father? For those of you that can't see, Brandon is 3 years old. That is awesome. For those of you didn't hear, he said that she takes care of him, and you know she provides for him, and that's why he likes to honor his parents. Thank you, Brandon. Now, another one of the Satan's lies is believing something makes it true for you. Now, today, this morning, you know, I'm addicted to Starbucks. As a matter of fact, ever since I got the Starbucks app, I think I've become more addicted because my goal is to get the free drink every time. And in order to get the free drink, you got to buy 6 drinks to get it. And I'm like, I'm always close. And that's how they sucker you into it. And they sucker me every time. I think I'm on my 8th free drink. So this morning, and I was walking to Starbucks, and it's so easy to order off your phone. You pre-order. And, you know, you don't realize how much you spend until I realize, I go, sir, you have insufficient credit. You have to reload your card. Then I reload my card, and I go, man, I spent how much in coffee this week? And I go, I must be insane. So I walk into Starbucks and get my Starbucks, and I go, $5 for this. Although it's good, I don't think it's worth $5. In my mind, sincerely, I think it should be worth no more than $2. It does? Really? Okay. But I think it should cost $2. Does that make me right or wrong? So if I walk into Starbucks and go, I sincerely believe this cup of coffee should cost me $2. What are they going to do? They're going to say, please, sir, the door is right there. Right? So just because I believe in something doesn't make it true. Okay? The truth is, believing a lie does not make it true for anyone. Okay? And there are many lies. All right? Like, for example, how many of you guys saw that big fight, Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather? I broke down and actually bought the pay-per-view fight because it was raining and we couldn't go anywhere. Thank goodness we didn't go anywhere. So we stayed at home. We bought the fight. I tried to Facebook live stream it for everybody and they booted me off. So sorry, guys, for those of you that couldn't watch it. But I sincerely thought McGregor was going to win. But as you know the outcome, I'm not spoiling anything. He did not win, right? Now, another thing, another lie that we always hear is all religions worship the same God. And you are equally valid. Now this hits close to home because I have a family member on the in-law side that is Buddhist, but she thinks she's Christian too, because she'll put a lot of posts on Facebook, oh, I'm Buddhist, I'm this and that, and then her second post will be, oh, praise God, everybody please pray for everybody, you know, God is great. And she thinks that it's all the same. As a matter of fact, when she talks to me, she's like, hey, church and Buddhist temple, it's the same thing. And I had to tell her, I go, no, if you actually read into the faith, it's not, right? You can't believe in everything and expect it to be true, right? But this is one of the easy lies that Satan easily propagates. He's like, hey, just everything's the same. It doesn't matter, okay? Right? So the truth, there's only one true living God, okay? In Isaiah chapter 45, verses 21 through 22, there's no other gods besides me, a just God, a Savior. There's none besides me. Look to me and be saved. It's in Isaiah chapter 45. Okay? That doesn't tell me, hey, look to me half the time and look to whoever the other half of the time. No, it says, look to me. I am the only one. Right? Now, religions around the world, right, they're more, we talked about this before, they're more like work religions. You have to work towards something, right? But you know, you can never really work to get into heaven. You can never do enough. What people fail to realize is the gift is already yours, right? You don't have to work for it, you know? So, the difference is, I see, and a lot of other religions, there's no bond. There's no talking to whoever they believe in. It's just, hey, I pray to you, that's it, I'm an underling, that's it. No, it's not like that with us. God wants a relationship with us. That's why I don't think our faith is a religion. I think it's a relationship. Right? Now think about it this way. God wants you to come to Him unconditionally at your free will. Okay? And you're thinking to yourself, why doesn't He just snap His fingers and make us all Christians? Make us all blindly follow Him? And sometimes I wish that were true. Because if we did, if that did happen, we wouldn't have all this chaos in the world. I would gladly probably give up that freedom or that free will so that everybody could have peace. Look at what's going on in society nowadays. You got one crazy Asian guy trying to launch missiles to America. You got another crazy president trying to be like, hey, on Twitter, I'm calling you an idiot. I'm calling you this. I'm calling you that. Right? So sometimes I wish He can just snap His fingers and make us all. But no, He wants free will. And think about it this way. How many of you guys are married? Right? Should be a few, right? Okay. How many guys are dating somebody? All right. Now, your significant other, do you want them to love you because you are who you are? Or do you want them to love you because you forced them to? Right? You want the free will. So, you know, I'm not much to look at, so I know Cindy loves me for me. But think about it. It's the same way. God wants you to unconditionally come to Him on your free will. That's why, if you read through the Bible, free will is a big thing. And it's such, when people take that comprehension into their knowledge, and they go, man, so He's giving me the free will to do whatever I want, right? To find my way to Him. And a lot of people, some find God early in life, some people find Him in the middle of their life, and some people actually find God towards the end of their life, right? But again, it's free will. So, another thing is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross is an eternal expression, that proof that God loves us. Think about it. God gave His only Son for us. You know, if you have kids, you could never imagine, you would never give your kids up for anything. I'll tell you that right now. Okay? Once you have kids, you understand. Your parents will probably tell you this, oh, I would never give you up for anything. Maybe some of you, but not all of you. But your parents adore and love you. I'm telling you, once you have kids, you'll see the struggles that your parents have gone through. You will. Okay? Now, in John chapter 14, verses 6, I love this verse. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father but by Me. So we accept our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? By Him, this is how we get to God. Okay? Now, another lie. This one's a good one, because this one seems very feasible. If you are a good person, and you do enough good works, God will accept you. Sounds logical, right? Hey, if I go out and I volunteer and I don't kill anybody, I don't steal, I don't lie, I'm a good person in general, I will be accepted by God. Right? The truth of the matter is, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You cannot get to heaven by your acts alone. You cannot. We're not perfect. I don't care if you pray for 3 hours at a time. I don't care if you go out and help 100 people a week. You can't get to heaven just by our works, right? Now, I have a best friend. He's a doctor now, as you probably heard the story before. He is one of the most genuine, nice persons ever. He has a heart of gold. I told you, when I first started dating Cindy, and we went on our second date, I didn't have any money. And at that time, you know, it was 1996, 97-ish. So there wasn't any automatic, you can't transfer funds through email or anything. So he lived in Beaumont at the time. And he called me up one day, he goes, hey, what are you doing? After he paged me, y'all remember pagers? Page me, I call him back, you know. He goes, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? I go, hey, man, tomorrow's Friday. I'm thinking of taking this girl I just met. She's great. Her name is Cindy. But, man, you know, I remember, I don't do any bad things anymore, so I'm kind of broke. He's like, really? He goes, hey, meet me at Bel Air and Beltway. Y'all know where that Chevron is? That Chevron McDonald on Bel Air and Beltway? That was there during 1996, 97. So he drove all the way from Beaumont up to that gas station. And I met him there because I used to live up north. I drove all the way down. I met him there. And he goes, here, here's $200. Go enjoy your time. Have a good time with Cindy. And he never asked for the money back. Heart of gold. Drove like an hour and a half. Right? And never asked for the money back. And I shared that story with him at my wedding. And I shared that story with him at his wedding. We were the best men for both of our weddings, respectively. Right? Heart of gold. If anybody, I mean, one time, we were driving, we're going out late at night, and he saw a homeless person, right? On the corner of Hillcroft near 59. And he looked up and he said, man, that homeless guy looks pretty rough today. Hey, let's stop by and get him some food. So we made a U-turn, went to the McDonald's nearby, got the guy food, drove all the way back, and he went and he handed the guy food and gave the guy some money. And at the time, we're 18, 17, you know, we were young kids. And heart of gold. He'd give you the shirt off his back if he had to, right? But is that enough to get to heaven? Right? Now, as I told you before, you know, all other religions, they stress work, a man's work. But, you know, in our faith, you can't work. You can't be perfect all the time. Right? Now, another lie, there's no such place as hell. One of the biggest deceptions that Satan has brought upon us is that he doesn't exist. So people think that there's no repercussions for their actions. Hey, we can be walling out. We can be doing whatever we want. It's not that big of a deal, right? But the truth is, hell is a real place. Check out Luke chapter 16. They'll tell you, okay? It's a lake of fire, right? We're getting close to time to wrap this up. Another Satan's lie. Maybe drugs are not for you, but alcohol and beer is fine. And the reason I bring this up is because a lot of young people in here are very impressionable, right? You're going off to college, and you know this may be a big deal for you. But the truth is, alcohol in any form is the most devastating drug at all, okay? And I can give you a lot of examples here. And I'm not telling you, okay, Joe, never drink or whatever. I understand. But how many of you guys, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, have been drunk before? Answer that to yourselves. If you have been drunk before, that means that you OD'd on alcohol. That you overdosed on alcohol, right? Now, I don't drink. I drink once a year. If I'm with a client, I'll have one little beer or whatever. But I don't like the taste of it. I don't drink. And ever since I was young, I was always the designated driver for my friends. They were crazy. But I was the always sober one. And the reason I wanted to be the designated driver, the sober one, is because I wanted to make sure all my friends got home. So if you guys do party, make sure you have one designated driver, okay? In today's time, you should not be getting behind the wheel. There's Uber apps and everything. There should be no reason why you should get behind the wheel, okay? So I love being the designated driver because I was the sober one, and I can talk to anybody while you're sober. When people are not sober, it's, have you seen people drunk? Do you make the best decisions when you're in alcohol? No, you don't. My best friend used to be very addicted to alcohol, and he became an angry drunk. So thank God today he doesn't drink anymore, right? Now, another thing that says alcohol is one of those gateway things where you think that, hey, that's no big deal, but it leads to other drugs and other problems, okay? Case in point, I'll share with you a couple of stories. I, like I said, I follow a lot of YouTubers and stuff, and I go through different type of, like, some quarters, I'm really into technology, so I look at all the tech, Some quarters I look at cars a lot. Some quarters I look at fitness, right? A lot of fitness bloggers try to get motivation to go back to the gym. And one of the guys that I followed was a guy by the name of Rich Piana. Big guy, right? And the reason I followed him, not just because he was a bodybuilder or whatever, he showed you how to work out. I liked his thing because he was truthful. He didn't lie about taking steroids. He says, I took a lot of steroids. This is how I get so big. But he also showed you how to invest your money. He said, this is how I make my money. You should do it this way. He was truthful. And then if you listen to things that people say about him, he had a troubled past. I'm not going to negate that. But at all these body fitness expo shows, he stayed till the very end and shook everybody's hand. Everybody said he was the nicest guy once you met him. The buildings that kicked him out, they said, hey, you know, we close at 5. You can't, you know, you have to close down your booth. He says, but these guys waited for 3 hours to see me. You know, we got to stay open for them. He was genuinely a nice guy. Unfortunately, he passed away about a few weeks ago due to heart complications. What is the heart? It's a muscle, right? So when he took steroids, guess what happened to his heart? It got bigger. So steroids led to more drugs, and then he had this complication where they had to induce a coma, and he could never come out of it. He was only 46 years old. 46, that's young. And he was a multimillionaire, living the life, right? That same week, another bodybuilder, also professional bodybuilder, lost his life as well due to steroids. So as you can see, you know, it's a gateway to more drugs, right? Even alcohol. I have a coworker of mine who is my right hand. She was my project engineer. You know, I don't go on vacation, right? But a year ago, my wife forced me to go, we got to take Ben to Disney World, Disneyland. We've never been to Disneyland. So we're like, okay, we'll go. So I go, you know, I'm busy with work. So I turn to her. She's always my, like I said, my right hand. Very good with the client, very smart, everything. One of the best employees you can have. So we go to California, and you know, right when we've never been to California, you know. We get to California, my wife and I, we get off the plane, we're waiting for our shuttle bus. It is 75 degrees in June. The weather was perfect. I was like, man, I can see why people live over here. And then I get into traffic, and I'm like, oh no, I see why people don't want to live over here. But while I'm on the shuttle bus, I get a call from one of my civil engineers. She's like, hey, John, I'm trying to find Tori. She's not here. I go, what do you mean she's not here? I said, we already told you, these are out for submittal. She needs to sign off on it before we send it to the client. She goes, I know, she's not here. I go, that's strange. So I tried calling her. And no answer. I thought that was weird. So I called my civil engineer back. I go, hey, something must have happened. Don't send it today. We'll send it on Monday. Nobody, this was a Friday. So then Monday comes along. I get another call. She's still not here. So I try calling her. I can't get to her. I'm like, that's strange. It's not like her. She's the type of person that will always answer any text, no matter what time you send, answer all the emails. So I'm like, something's wrong. So then I call my other person at work and say, hey, something's up. We got to get this out. Check the deliverable, and then we'll get this to the client. Then later on we find out Tori relapsed because of alcohol. And she relapsed bad enough to where they had to take her to rehab right away. So when I found out, I said, Tori, why don't you let us know? She's like, well, John, I know you're a Christian. And she's a devoted Christian, too. She's a very good Christian. Goes to church every week, helps out. She said, I felt embarrassed. That's why I didn't want to call you. I said, you didn't need to call me. I mean, you didn't need to feel embarrassed. I totally understand. Let us know. We were worried for you. So it came to the point where a lot of us stood up for Tori, and, you know, we defended her because, you know, it was grounds for termination if you just not show up to work. So our work was gracious enough to give her a second chance, and I asked her one day personally, I said, you don't need to be embarrassed. We're not perfect. Even though we're Christians, we're not perfect. You can come to us anytime. And she's like, well, John, I know you're big into church, and you know, I go to church all the time. I felt embarrassed because I have this problem. And I said, okay. And I said, what happened? She told me that she was sober for 2.5 years, never touched alcohol again. All of a sudden, she decides to go out with her friends from back in the day. And they go to the bar. And she's like, I'm with my old friends. Let me have one drink. What could it hurt? That one drink turned into 27 drinks. And it got to the point where after she got back to her apartment, she had to call people to bring her alcohol. And I said, well, thank goodness you weren't driving, but what type of friends are bringing you alcohol in this state? If they see you drunk or this inebriated, what type of friends are those? So it was another one of my coworkers that actually went over to her apartment, saw the condition that she was in, and forced her to go to rehab. So she went to rehab for 3 months. And she got out, completed the program. She's completely sober. But like I said, you see, she puts herself in that predicament. And she said if she can go back in time, she would have never went out with those old friends. Right? Case in point. Not just even big movie stars. How many of you guys are Kevin Hart fans? Right? My son and I are big Kevin Hart fans. He's not having a very good couple weeks, right? Because he put himself in a predicament that, guess what, causes him to make bad decisions. Right? So, I'm telling you guys, you know, it's, you guys are going to learn. Right? But be very careful. Just because everything is legal, well, John's, everybody's drinking, it's no big deal. I've seen a lot of people go down for this. And Tori's very lucky because she wasn't driving, she didn't kill anybody, she didn't kill herself. And, you know, our work was able to keep her. But anybody else, this would have been a different story. So keep that in mind, okay? All right, but like I said, guys, sorry, I'm running a little bit over. So let me close in prayer. For everybody, please rise. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us together here. Please keep the people that were affected by Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, and the earthquake in Mexico. Please keep them in your prayers. Please guide us to spread your word. Please don't let us get distracted. And let us honor your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.